This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by the services that I bring outside of podcasting. I bring a lot of like beauty services to you, and I don't believe you need to be wearing makeup. And let's be real, you're not leaving your house unless you're going to the grocery store or to the packy, as we say here in New England, the package store, to go get your white claws.
Going to get some ciggies and beer at the packy.
No. Anyway, I will say that when I go out and I'm wearing my mask, I have my mascara on, my 4D mascara, and I've gotten complimented on my lashes.
Did you really?
Swear to God, because it's the only part that people can see of me. So if you want your lashes to be kicking when you're going to the grocery store, when you're going to the wherever, going out for a walk, that is on discount this month. MinuteWithMary.com/discount. But I'm also putting on discount any of my nail strips. I also have a discount for nail strips. So Manny with Mary, like think of manicure. How many of us have been wishing we had a manicure? MannyWithMary.com is the site that you can shop through. Shoot me a message though. Find me, Mary Larson, on Facebook. I'm going to refund you 15% if you get anything this month from Manny with Mary, because I want your nails to look nice. I want you to feel pulled together. Let's feel pulled together and let's chat Outlander, okay? So minutewithmary.com/discount or Manny with Mary and shoot me a message. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say for that lass we are. Mary of soul, she sailed on a day.
Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Yes, it is. Yes,
just,
it is.
I literally had a blank. My brain came to a screeching halt there.
Sure did. It's all right.
I'm very sorry, ladies and gents. Usually I have something fun and witty to say.
Not right now,
not today. I think it's
okay.
too many white claws already.
For you, yes.
Too many white claws
It's all
already.
Good, man. We've got this. We've got this going on. So we have, of course, here to talk about the amazing episode of Outlander, Famous Last Words, episode 508. Here we are on the later half of season 5. Things are rocking and rolling. We have got so much to discuss. People feel strongly about this episode one way or another. And let's be real. We don't have much else to do right now. So let's talk about Outlander and let's talk about it in depth, because today is the listener feedback episode.
And it's I think the After Dark show for all the members at the Outlander Cast OutlanderCastClan.com might be coming, like it might be supplanting as my favorite part of Outlander Cast.
Why?
It's close, but I think the listener feedback still remains king. King gonna be king. Okay, I think so, but it's close. The After Dark show is creeping up, but this is still the crown jewel. The listener feedback episode where we all talk about it, we all have a little bit of fun, everything, we break all the rules, we go a little crazy, we have a good time. That's what we're here for, right?
A few adult bevies.
So, a few?
I can have one right now. Our little lad is still up.
That's true.
In the next room.
So much coloring happening right now.
You know?
Drawing minotaurs.
It's all good. I failed distance learning today, friends. Can I just be real with you for a second?
Let's do it. Just for a millisecond.
Right. Let's all hold on. Hold on.
That's my girl. What, you didn't cheers? Nothing?
I didn't even know.
Okay,
I didn't even
cheers.
Know, man. So distance learning has been having its ups and downs, and today it was its downs. I would like to thank Common Core Math for yet again breaking my brain. So I'm really excited to travel back in time, to hang out with my Outlander peeps, to talk all things Roger Mack and Lord John Grey.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Let's be real. Best gift giver ever.
Right. Ever.
All right. So before we get into this episode, Blake and I would love to invite you, if you're brand new to learning about Outlander Cast, Blake and I have been podcasting about the show since it began. You can see everything that we have, all of our episodes, at outlandercast.com. But we don't just have the podcast. We've got an amazing, thriving online community. Our Facebook group is the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering. And we also have a slew of talented bloggers from around the world who are cranking out outstanding amazing content every single week, usually in season at least twice a week. So you can see all of that at outlandercast.com. And if you enjoy listening to Blake and myself, you can subscribe to our podcast in your podcast catcher of choice. We also have tons of other podcasts that we've talked about, whether it's different shows like This Is Us or Game of Thrones. We did the final season, Gilmore Girls, The Leftovers. So if you're binging some television right now and any of the shows that we podcast about coincide with that, feel free to check those out at maryandblake.com. But for now, we're going to get into the show. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
I already said that.
I know. I'm wasting time because I can't find the sound.
Just sing it.
All right.
So good. All right. Okay. Blake's telling me that I'm going first. All right. Renee wrote on in at outlandercast.com saying, this is Renee from Japan, where we are also doing a stay-at-home order. Not only that, but I have a newborn and two littles. Oh my goodness, Renee.
Wow.
Look at you, girlfriend. Girlfriend, she needs to send me an email because I'm going to send you something.
You know what, girlfriend? I'm going to have this. That's just for you.
Oh my goodness. Renee, seriously, shoot us an email. Blake will tell me because he checks the emails, and I'm going to send you a little lovin'. So she said, our podcasts have been great company to her in the hospital and a little piece of sanity for her this season. Thank you. You're welcome. Hold on. She wrote in listener feedback from the hospital.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Or we kept her company in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Either way, you are welcome. I will be honest. When I gave birth to my little lass, I gave birth at 1 a.m. and by 8 or 9 o'clock at night, Blake and I said, well, what are we going to do? And we went, we're going to watch Outlander. That's what we're going to do. So kilt rating for this episode Renee gave was 4.8 kilts. Great Roger's journey. At the end, Roger said, maybe this was my destiny. Why? He is dealing with not just the trauma of the hanging, but with the upheaval of his life going back in time, with being beaten and sold by his in-laws, being a tribe slave, and then returning to a ready-made family, having no appreciable skills to survive or provide, and constantly feeling like the underdog and needing to prove himself. Then have his ancestor beat him, have hung him, and his ability to sing taken away. Well, no wonder Roger would consider this just being his sucky life. But this goes to show much of a fighter Roger is. To survive all of this, process it all, and still fight. He's just as much a fighter as Jamie, whom we never doubt, just in his own way. It may take Roger time. He may make mistakes along the way, but we've learned from his track record that he is going to pull it together. Yes, Renee! Look at her. She may be sleep deprived, but she is not slacking.
She is still coherent.
That's right. She's got it.
Do you think Roger is just as much of a fighter as Jamie? Could you see Roger living in a cave for like a year?
Yep.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could see it.
I totally could.
I mean, I'm still kind of somewhat on the Roger train. I'm almost there.
You are. You already proclaimed it. You're on. You may not be... What's the leader of the train? The guy that wears the hat?
The conductor. Choo-choo.
Yeah, you may not be the conductor, okay? Mm-hmm. I am. Move over.
Yeah, no, I know you're the conductor. You're the guy who built the train.
But still, you're on the train. All right, here we go.
All right. This one comes from Dawn. She says, I recall how you guys had a podcast where you were discussing how each of the Outlander characters showed their love for each other. That's right. We did do that. It was the love languages of Outlander cast members, I think. Well, no, the love languages of Outlander characters. And for this case, Roger is all about the verbal words, communication, and music. These are his gifts to others. So it really hit home that when Roger lost his voice due to his near death by hanging, he is alive, but lost his voice. It made sense that he would lose his whole sense of self, his self-esteem, and his self-worth.
Hmm.
Again, which plays right into this motif of the silent film. Roger lost his ability to communicate audibly. So when you have this motif step in for him and show him in his most horrific suffering, it only makes sense to have it be a silent film. And not only that, but have it also reflect his date with Brianna in the 20th century. It's a perfect pairing. And I understand why some people don't like it, but unfortunately, you know what? We're not on the same page. We're not on the same page. That's if you okay. don't like it.
You don't need to be on the same page.
It happens.
This is why the listener feedback episode is so needed. You know what I mean? You need to have the different perspectives, the different voices. Sometimes people shine light on things that others may never have even thought about. So I love it. I love it. Sign me up. Look who joined the party.
Hey, Lumos Kat's here. Lumos is all right. Here.
So who else do we have that got to...
All right. On Facebook, we got Rebecca Ann. She says, how do you like the Bree and Roger singing together in the end credits, Marvin? What did you think about that?
Oh my gosh, loved it, except it made me cry too much. Like, it's, I mean, really, this was Roger's beautiful voice, and then you got to hear it intermingled with Bree. Of course, that song had so much significance to him as he was telling Bree before he went off to battle, you know, make sure that Jimmy knows this song. Mm-hmm. It's his favorite. So... it was just very, very bittersweet.
Yes.
It's a perfect word for it.
Yes. I was genuinely surprised by Bree's or Sophie Skelton's voice. I did not anticipate her being able to sing the way that she did.
Okay.
And the way that they sounded together, yeah, really good. Really good.
They did. They sounded lovely together.
And I was thinking about closing out the show with that, ooh, but it may be a little complicated.
Okay.
Well, so we'll may try not be able to do that.
Well, Victoria Larkin also wrote in saying, I felt cheated by the rescue scene being silent. I felt Rick's acting could have carried us through at least half of those silent movie flashbacks. I liked the silent bits. To be honest, I hate the sound that the bodies always make, the crack and thwop that bodies make when they're hung on television. So I was actually quite thankful that I didn't have to hear that multiple times. Yep. How about you?
I think there could be an argument made that the silent movie should have been Roger's perspective only. That would have been, I think, the most logical through line. Mm-hmm. And that the rescue scene should have played out like how it normally would have done, because it wasn't Roger's perspective at that point. It was seeing it through the eyes of Jamie and Bree and Claire. So once that happens, you should see it normally. The difference would be is that when Roger is being hung and when he's finally awake after Claire and Jamie and everybody revive him, that should be the silent part of the show. I mean, it is what it is. I still love it. But I think there's an argument to be made. So that's just my opinion. Don Kuhn or Keen says, I noticed that LJG and Bree were too close as well, Mary. They have great chemistry, but yeah, it was a little too close.
I mean, it's just weird because, you know, David Barry's just so perfectly beautiful and pale that you can't help but every once in a while think he may actually be a vampire. Right? Like, you sit there and you're like, see, I know I shouldn't believe in vampires, but dang, if anyone was going to be a vampire, it would be him. He just kind of like slides on in there. It's not like he's walking. He's like the Twilight vampires just like glide on in, and he kind of like
he's the
angles.
Volturi.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. But then, yeah, I mean, I always find the neck area so sensual. So that's where he is in the frame, and he's kind of coming on up. And he and Bree just have really amazing screen chemistry. But on the flip side, because we know that they're not interested in each other that way, mm-hmm, it really gives this great dichotomy. Bree needs a friend, right? And he is Bree's best friend.
I kind of want them to be an item. I kind of do. I know that, you know, she is not his type. I get it. But I'm just saying, they have such great chemistry together. Like, oh, I have headcanon, and my headcanon says that they're together somehow.
It's okay. Say it out loud.
Oh, I already played it. I'll play it again.
Say it.
Good.
Out loud.
Okay, you're now, welcome. Brandy Mist also wrote in saying, I love that Jamie just wanted to sit with Ian on the porch for a while. No words needed. Such a loving parent thing to do. Knowing your child isn't ready to talk, so you just be there. Goodness gracious. Let me tell you, I am going to have to learn that skill.
Oh, yes.
In about 5 years. You know, like my kids right now want to tell me everything and they smother me with love. It's amazing.
It's
and
cute.
It's also suffocating now that I don't get to go outside and see other people anymore. I love my children, but I also know that at some point it's going to switch, right? Where I love you. I'm pointing at you right now. Do I love you something fierce? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yes, he does.
But I know that, you know, as people get older and as they want to work on their own opinions of things and they don't want to necessarily hear, or they might need to just time to digest, you know? So Ian's not ready to share it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still digesting things. And I loved that Jamie could just sit there. And that was, honestly, it's went through my head is like, I'm going to have to learn to do that. I need to learn how to deal with this poor guy right here that I'm sitting next to, poor Blake. He comes home some days and he's quiet and you could tell that the gears in his brain are going and I'm just like, hey, so what's going on? You're off. Do you realize you're off? Because you're totally off. So that means something happened or something's on your mind. What do you think it is? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it great? Tell me, where are we going here? Poor thing. No joke. This is the life that Blake needs to like deal with every single day. And I saw Jamie sit next to Ian and it dawned on me. You know how TV does that for you? I don't know if it does that for you, but it does it for me, where you're like, oh, okay.
I get it.
I could just sit next to Blake and my presence being there be enough. And then maybe one day he'll tell me. Because that's the other thing is I'm a little nosy. So I like want to know. And I want to help. That's the thing is I often think I can help. Oh, well.
I'm just going to
I've learned something from James Fraser.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull a Jamie and just be here and stay silent.
Perfect.
Just going to stay silent. All right. This one comes from...
Stacy Beckford?
Oh, yeah.
Rosemary Knight?
I like the...
Their names came together.
I know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened here. I think Mary might have touched stuff and messed it up. That's okay. It's just my document that we do to run this entire gig here. So she says, either Stacy or Rosemary said this. I liked the bonding between Ian and Roger. However, my husband thought it was odd because for the most part, they didn't know each other. It would have made more sense for Bree and Ian or Fergus and Ian. I think there was a missed opportunity there. Also, why didn't Bree embrace Ian first? Roger hugging him felt weird to me, unless that was a thanks for very much for taking my place hug. You know, I don't know. I actually quite like the dichotomy of having Roger and Ian together, simply because Ian gave his life over for Roger.
Yes,
and they're both struggling in major ways. And like I said, there in the previous episode, there was this unspoken, unspoken is not really the word. It was just like this thing that was like, okay, we don't need to talk. We don't need to be part of all of this. We can just be here for each other and just hang out. And that's it. That's all we need to do. So I really liked having Roger and Ian together. I think it made all the sense in the world, but that's just my opinion. For what it's worth. Mary, what do we got next?
All right. Eileen, oh, it's almost like Cranston, but Cranston gave this episode 3 kilts, saying, not a good episode for me, and it had nothing to do with the silent film usage. Attempting to put too much into episode, chief culprit of this was the inclusion of Ian returning. This, for one, took away from the Roger story. I really don't think them going out together surveying worked. I feel Ian returning was really whitewashed over, very underwhelming, and should have been a whole part of the episode on its own, not just having been thrown into part of the episode, thrown into this one. This was one of the major issues of the showrunners, using up time on fillers. Think Perpetual Adoration, for example. And then what major characters return, and they get a few short sentences. Jocasta, guess she showed up 3 months after Murtaugh was buried and had a song in his grave and then just left after all that heartache of last week's death. I think we all needed much more closure with this. We watched how many scenes over the years of Claire during surgery on people we cared nothing about. In episode 2 of this year, we got to watch watch her do an autopsy. But when it came to one of the most important surgeries she will ever do, we get what, 15 seconds in black and white, meaning, of course, the surgery that she has to do on Roger. We only get about 15 seconds. Dad, I will watch this one much. Attempted a second time like Showalter's requested and turned it off. I will have to try it again.
Wow.
Listen, Eileen, you know, it is so tough. It's so, so tough because you're right. There are some things that you sit there and you kind of scratch your head and you say, gosh, we did spend a great amount of time chilling on that autopsy with Claire. Why? Why so much time? You know what I mean?
I would agree.
So it's like, it is tough. Because was Ian cheated? Was Roger cheated in moments of this episode, do you think, Blake?
No, I don't think Roger was cheated at all. And I don't think that Ian was cheated at all. I mean, I will say that there was like this kind of like, oh, okay, Ian's here. But they both got their moments. And the funny thing is that you would expect them to have moments that are independent of each other. But because they were together, it made it that much more personal. Mm-hmm. But also, even a little foreign, even a little off-putting, because they don't have the most close relationship. So having these two people, again, the show is about relationships and putting, and well, any good TV is about relationships, and putting relationships together that don't often happen. Putting people in pairs that shouldn't or wouldn't work in your own mind or in other people's minds. It makes it for more interesting television. So having them together and the stuff with Claire's surgery or whatever, like, is it the most important surgery she's ever done? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the case. I would actually say the most important surgery in healthcare she's ever done is bringing Jamie back from his time at Wentworth Prison. That's my opinion. But again, it's not about Claire in the surgery in this moment. It's about Roger in his perspective, waking up, coming back to life. It's, yes, Claire is the one who moves it and makes it happen, but it's not about her necessarily. It's about Roger. So having these two together makes much more sense to me in allowing the effect of Roger's surgery and how that comes about afterwards. His recovery is much more important than the surgery itself. Lara Light here says on Facebook, does Ian know about Claire being from the future? With that remark about secrets, it caught me a little off guard. Mary?
It caught me off guard as well.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this on the After Doc show. By the way, if you want to listen to the After Doc show, you can just go to OutlanderCastClan.com and become a...
You know who it caught off guard?
Who?
Jamie.
Oh, absolutely.
Caught Jamie off guard. And he's sitting there thinking,
Part of me thinks that Ian knows. And this is what I was saying on the After Doc show. Again, go to OutlanderCastClan.com to become a member there and listen to that show every week.
Oh my God, Blake, calm down.
But I was thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, it just feels like Ian knows a little something. He knows something's up. He knows something ain't right. And a part of me thinks that he knows. And I kind of want him to know, because that would add a whole another dynamic to their relationship that I would expect. So I'm in on that. I'm definitely in. What's the next one we got here? Christine. Oh, no. Are we doing emails? Yes, we are
we
doing
emails. We do have Christine.
Oh, yes. Okay. Christine says, I'm all in on this episode. Love the use of the silent film tied to Roger's PTSD and flashbacks, as that's how he was seeing them in his head. Young Ian was brilliant. I've always wanted to love his character, but they just never gave me enough to sink my teeth into. But that all changed this episode, which was just brilliant. My only criticism is, as a non-book reader, I'm having a hard time seeing where this season is going. We know Bonnet is still out there, and the Revolutionary War starts eventually, but how does any of that tie into where we are with our characters? I hear Blake in my head saying, "What are we doing here?" with the remainder of the season. Overall, I'm enjoying the season more than last from a quality production standpoint. First question, Mary, are you enjoying the production of this season more, the production value of this season more than you did last season or season three?
I am. I'm finding that it's looking more like the Outlander that I first got to know about on through television. It's the filming, the directing just seems to be. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, all of it. Yeah, like just the production values.
Yeah, the costuming, the music. I don't know. I feel like the magic is whatever magic was having a difficult time in seasons three or four. I feel like the magic has come back a bit. Now, granted, I loved a lot of the aspects of season four, particularly because I love the ridge. I love home. I love being home with family. I love the little moments of, even in this episode, watching the women wash the clothes. Like, those are just little things that tickle my fancy that I find to be so relaxing. And I really enjoy, those moments reading the books of just like the things that go about the day-to-day life. I don't always savor the drama moments as much. You guys know I do not love blood and gore. Awkward situations sometimes are really awkward and I read them very quickly, but I like to take some deep breaths. I'm a busy person. I'm an anxious person. So
no.
When I do get to have those tender moments, I enjoy it. So I enjoyed that about season four, getting to be on the ridge, getting to be in this new place, getting to be with home again. Mm-hmm. But in this season, I feel like everything is more beautiful to look at.
Yep, I agree.
So
I totally agree. I think the direction, the lighting, all of it, mm-hmm. there just seems to be more focus. And you know, one of the things that I noticed too in how it's shot is there just seems to be a lot more focus on things in the forefront of the camera. And like last season, when you have a really expensive camera and you get the lens right, you get everything just right, the person that's in focus is totally in focus. And all of the background is blurred.
Yes.
That's how you're supposed to shoot things, like professionally. And I feel like we're having that a lot more this season as compared to last season. Last season felt very just flat. It felt very flat. Usually when you have somebody standing in front of you and they're totally in focus and the rest of it's blurred out, that means you're almost getting a 3D style picture. And that is really, especially in this particular episode with Roger, as he's having his flashbacks, when it shoots back to him in real life and like in reality, extreme close-ups, everything around him is dark and blurred out. It's just his face. It's his anguish that you're stuck with. This episode was a great, great example of that. I'm in on it. But the question I do have, and I think that the same one that Christine has here, is what are we doing with the rest of this season? Like,
you'll see. Hold on tight, guys.
It's got to be Bonnet.
Hold on tight, watchers.
It's got to be Bonnet. It has to be.
Just hold on. You got this.
Everyone's been saying hold on since episode three or two.
But we just had the Battle of Alamance, right?
Yes.
Roger was hung. Roger was saved. So things have been happening. Major things have been happening. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to just keep the train going. The train is rolling now. All right? We got this.
Yep. All right. What do we got next?
Oh, I lost my document. Are you in it? Can you read it? Sorry.
All right. Donna Antaramian chimes in. She says, I'm giving this episode 4.7 kilts. I felt like it was a solid but somber and sad episode.
Oh, it was so sad.
There were just some parts that were rather slow and disappointing. I have two goods and cannot make up my mind which was the better of the two, so you get both. My first is Lord John Grey. While his presence in Fiery crosses through letters to the Frasers, I love how the show has found small ways to pigeonhole him in to be at the Ridge or at River Run.
Yes.
He always has words of wisdom that can give your heart just a little joy. Plus, he brings good gifts.
Truly,
But I just love David Barry. He's such a gift to this series. And my second good would be the bonding between Roger and young Ian. We have two lost souls drowning in their own self-pity, but somehow are able to help each other. The bad, all of the young Ian stuff. While I love the fact that Ian has returned, I found his return uneventful. My reaction was, Ian's back.
Right.
I felt there was no thought behind him making his appearance. It was like the writer said, okay, well, here's a good spot to let us throw, and let's just throw it in here. I also found most scenes that Ian appeared in was a little overdramatic. His despair was a wee bit much. But the great was, of course, everything Roger. Richard Rankin just shined in this episode. His portrayal of this broken, desperate man drowning in his own silence was outstanding. I thought the use of a silent
and black... Outstanding! She wants that, man.
You're right.
When people use that word, she wants Rick Rankin to have that. That's right. He deserved it.
That's right. Where was I?
After the word outstanding.
Sure. Yeah. I thought the use of a silent black and white film was amazing. You get to go through Rogers hanging little bit by little bit, out of focus to becoming more in focus and complete until the film is no longer a black and white film and the hanging is complete and in color, with Rogers seeing he has something to live for, which was Brianna. I know a lot of people did not like the use of the silent black and white film, but I thought the metaphor and imagery, although risky, was brilliant. And, you know, another thing that I said on the, this is me speaking now, another thing that I said on the After Dark show was, you know, I get that some people didn't like it, and even if I did not like it, I still would not give Matt Roberts and Tony and Meryl Davis a hard time for it. I'm always for a show taking risks. I want them to take risks. Even if they crash and burn, I want them to take risks. Because if they don't, they're just doing stuff for the sake of doing it. They're just being blah. And nobody wants to be blah. You know what I mean? Nobody wants media. It's just like, okay, it is.
Gotta take some chances. No, I hear what you're
Take chances,
going.
Man.
I hear what
take
you're
Take some
going.
Chances. All right, we got an email now.
Yes, email. Stephanie says, Blake, I want to take a second and thank you for sharing your own personal struggles, both with the trauma you suffered from your accident as well as the depression.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 40 years old, and it's only been the last couple of years that I finally started to work through my own PTSD from some pretty gnarly abuse and trauma from my childhood. Mine manifests in severe clinical anxiety, and it took a while before I was finally able to admit it and get the treatment I needed so that my husband and daughter didn't have to continue to live with a person truly having a nutty. So all this to say, I know exactly what you were talking about, which is probably why this episode resonated so deeply with us. So thank you for being candid. There was so much love to love about this episode. So many great character relationship moments, so many powerful moving performances. Rick Rankin was an absolute tour de force. The only issue I had was the fact that we saw Roger's rescue in the silent film. The producers said they used this device to get inside Roger's head, but then they broke their own rule out of the gate. Roger was unconscious when they found him. He can't possibly have known what happened, so it doesn't make sense for us to watch it from his perspective.
Yep, makes
Not
sense.
Only was it confusing, I felt like it defeated the whole purpose of the cliffhanger. If they wanted audiences to believe Roger was dead, then we needed a moment at the start of the episode where we still weren't sure. It might have been more effective had they still opened on the silent film and showed Roger get hanged and then cut to black a moment before fading into the rescue. This would have given us an extra beat of uncertainty and amped up the tension before we knew for sure if he was okay. And really, for me, the use of the dialogue cards in the rescue felt campy and sucked the drama and urgency out of that one scene. We needed to clearly see and hear Jamie bring him down from the tree, then panic when he realized Roger was still alive. We needed to feel the urgency when Claire and Bree jumped into action to save him, and we needed to hear Bree's desperation and relieved gasp when she called Roger's name and he finally opened his eyes. Mm-hmm. Had we been able to watch the rescue in real time and only watch the silent film when Roger was remembering the hanging, I think it would have given us a greater payoff and would have done a much better job of honoring both the actors and the audience watching. Otherwise, this episode was absolutely incredible. The kind that resonated on a personal level and is going to stick with me a long time.
Is this the episode, Mary, that you're going to think of when it comes to season 5? Is this the one that, like for me, you know, season 1 was The Garrison Commander. That's the one that I think of. Season 2 was Preston Pans. Season 3 was The Battle Joined. Season 4 was the premiere with America the Beautiful. Is this the one that's going to be for you, or
as like the artsy choice?
No, well, just like the one that, like, the first thing you think of is season 5 is this episode.
Probably not.
Really? What is it? Has it yet to happen?
It may not yet have happened. Okay. I don't know. I don't know where this. I'll be real with you. They've dabbled that we may be leaving on a cliffhanger this season, or that they may be weaving things in that we're not necessarily in book five. So I'm just saying I'm holding out. I don't really know. I want to see how they do things. They've also mixed things up a little bit with their timeline and with their stories, of course. So I'm just saying I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see. I'd love to know what you guys think. Of course, keeping things spoiler free. Do you already know which episode's going to be like, that's the pillar episode for me? Or do you think it's yet to come as well? Keeping things spoiler free would be great.
One of our listeners, and this actually popped up a couple of times here, is what happened with Buck? Like, Buck was a regulator, but he's not getting hung by Tryon. And I know they just picked three random guys, and it just happened to be Roger who got picked. But did Buck just walk off, and that's the end of it? Like, is that what happened to him?
Yeah, we saw him put on the little yellow marking.
Yep.
Just trotted on off.
And that was it. Okay, good. Just clarifying that for everybody.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, like, we didn't see him anymore in that
episode. Yeah, we didn't. I wanted to make sure that, you know, it, what we got made sense. That's all. Okay, this one comes from Kim. She says, the kilt rating was 4.9. The bad first was Fergus is Jamie's adopted son, but Fergus and the relationship don't get airtime. That makes sense to me. Second, the black and white films helped Roger to distance his memories, but they also distance us from the gripping moment with our core characters, the panic in Bree, the urgency in Claire, and the reassurance in Jamie. And third, Jamie still has not thanked Roger for saving the crops. That is an excellent point, Kimberly. Excellent point. Really like that. The great Richard Rankin's performance knocks it out of the park, and she even spelled it right, P-A-H-K. When Bree was singing to Jemmy and when Roger starts crying, oh my God. And the more great was the writing. So many intimate scenes between characters that make this episode more about relationship than plot. The symbolism of voice, whether musical or spoken, from the Skyboat song, which they didn't have Raya's voice at the end
of the opening. Oh my gosh, I was so sad because it just went to the silent movie sounds. And I'm like, they cut out Raya.
Ian refers to the paper bird as a bird that doesn't sing. Roger's lecture about last words and wanted to be more remembered for his words and deeds. And Bree remembering the veteran drowning in silence. Ian not having words and Roger holding back his words until they're necessary to move Ian forward. And again, this is me now talking. This is the brilliance of having Roger and Ian together. Both of them find their voice to move Ian forward. And to bring Roger perspective on his life. That's why the pairing is just so perfect. It plays off of each other so well. Roger once said to Bree, words have consequences. And all to illustrate that voice plays an integral and inexplicable part of our identity and our human experience. And next, the parallels between Ian and Roger and Bree fighting their way back from trauma. Jamie tells Roger he is whole, and Roger hears him, but he has to reinvent himself and find wholeness on his own, as must they all. And lastly, the paper airplane linking future with the past. I appreciated Bree's metaphor as it relates to Roger. Paper isn't meant to fly. So when the paper airplane flies in the canyon, Roger shows that if he is given the space, adjusts his expectations, he can flex and soar. Overall, it was one of the best episodes of the series. Thank you for your excellent podcast. And Kimberly, thank you. Bam! Just like that. That was excellent. Let's see. I have someone here, actually, Melissa. She's saying, let's talk about the cinematography for this past episode. We highlighted this pretty well, I feel like, in our last episode when we discussed it, Mary. But what stood out to you? Like, what jumped out to you about the cinematography, the lighting, how it was shot, the use of color, the use of non-color? That kind of thing.
I think their lack of fear when it comes to darkness is something that I've been enjoying. When it comes to the lighting, I think the lighting really, really stood out in this episode. I think not only the black and white spots where we got to see things, you know, from third person in regards to Roger's perspective, but then when we're thrown back into Roger in the present, I really loved how when he would come out of those moments of memory, which mm-hmm. we saw as silent movie moments, we'd come back to Roger and everything was greatly distorted in regards to the focus. You know what I mean? Like, it was even more blurred behind him. And I thought that was really so poignant, because even those of us who may not necessarily have incredibly traumatic situations in our lives, maybe we don't suffer from PTSD, maybe we haven't had a life or death situation, or maybe we haven't gone through a type of abuse or anything that was so significant that it haunts us. You know what I mean? Like it does for many other people. You may have had still moments in your life. Maybe you have a fight with a friend or a partner or a loved one. Maybe you have something that emotionally shakes you. Maybe there's a death of a loved one. Maybe something incredibly significant like what we're currently going through with the pandemic. Things like that can attack the way that you think so much sure. that your brain feels fuzzy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do your kid's first grade Common Core math. You can't remember things easily. I know for me, it affects my brain in that way. And it was interesting to see it portrayed that way on the show, because I feel like many of us can relate to that, even if we haven't had that significant of a trauma in our lives, that maybe still that aspect of the blurriness is something that we can relate to. What do you think, Blake?
I really, really, really liked the inky blacks in this episode. Mary, you made a point earlier. You like the fact that they're not afraid of darkness in this season so far. They've used that to their advantage. We've mentioned this on other episodes, but go back and watch. I want you to go back and watch a couple of things. I want you to go watch 1917. For the use of color and the use of black, especially like in the little bunker rooms as they're trying to talk and make plans. It's all candlelit. And there's another thing that I want you to go back to is I want you to go back and watch Skyfall. And I want you to watch Skyfall because there's this amazing scene with Daniel Craig as James Bond where he's going to he has a sniper rifle and he's in a building and he has to go shoot somebody across like in another building across the way from him. And it's all dark except for neon lighting in the background.
Okay.
And all you see is the shadow of James Bond and this excellent, cool blue neon lighting that's just giving just enough color for you to understand what's happening. And the reason why I want you to go back and do too, in the commonality between these two movies, is that they're both the director of photography for both films is Roger Deakins, who right now is probably the greatest living cinematographer on the planet.
Ooh.
And he always says, don't be afraid of black. Use black. Use it to your advantage. It gives depth. It gives texture. And it can be held back by the smallest little candle, or it can be used to cover an entire picture,
mm-hmm.
but all of it plays together. And the fact that this season so far, Outlander has used the black to their advantage is great. And not only that, but using different kinds of filters and different kinds of coloring. We talked about it last episode. The blue lighting, the blue hues that we're getting, especially with Roger, noticing whether or not that it's a theme of despair or hurt or anger or frustration, or even in some cases, blue is also indicative of healing. The fact that we're getting all of this, especially in this one episode, I said it before and I'll say it again, big boy television, ladies and gents, big boy television. This one comes from OutlanderCastClan.com. Donna Leonard says, Mary, busting into a quote from The Little Mermaid, yes, that was a great description of Lord John Grey.
You're welcome.
You want thingamabobs? I got 20. All right, you ready for the voicemails?
Yes.
All right, let's get some voicemails going here.
Hey guys, Anna again from Canada.
Hello.
Wow, what an episode. So at this point, just tell you, I'm a show watcher only, but I have been reading the books. Just not all of them. But that's okay after this episode. I like to give a theory, but I can't think of anything super amazing at this point.
No
except
problem.
For I think that, yes, they must show, and I can only hope they will, of what will happen after that cliffhanger. That also in the next episode or two, Bonnet has to come for real. Amongst everything that the Frasers have just gone through. No GBGs at this moment, but I will admit that I did not cry like most have after the Smurtaugh scene, but I almost did while seeing.
Looks like she got cut off there. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. I'm terribly sorry about that. All right, let's do the next one.
Hi guys, it's Sharon from Chicago calling.
Hey Sharon.
Oh God, I don't know what to say. In the words of one Blake Larson, what are we doing here? I do not get the beginning at all. I don't know whose idea it was to turn that into a silent film.
Probably Matt's.
I was taken out of the drama and the tension. I really wanted to see them saving Roger. I really wanted it. But it just was almost like their idea of what they wanted and not what the viewer wanted. And I just feel like I was done a dirty for that. It just felt very film school. And I'm just like, why are we in a Fellini movie? It just makes no sense whatsoever. So obviously that was my bad. My good is, of course, Ian coming back. And I knew that's what they were going to do. And I thought that they were going to bring him back early. And I so hope that he was. And my great was Roger and him trying to overcome his PTSD and how everyone was trying to help him. There was just so much beauty in this episode. And it probably I would have given it a 5, except for that just goofy, I don't know, silent movie thing. I don't know why they did that. It doesn't feel like Outlander, but I'm still going to give this a 4.8. Would have been a 5. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
You know, Sharon, I think your explanation for it is a reasonable explanation. It's not to say that you're wrong or that your opinion is less valid than mine or anybody's who liked it. It's just a difference of opinion. And the fact that it didn't work for you is totally fine. Like I get why some people didn't like it. It is not within the visual language of the show to actually do something like that, to take that much of a risk. That visual language doesn't really happen. Would you agree with that, Mary? Or did this come out of the blue, out of nowhere? And do you feel like they were doing it for themselves as opposed to the viewer? And the next question that I have for you is, the next question I have for you too is, should they be doing it for the viewer, or should they be doing it for themselves, for the story that they want to tell in the way that they want to tell it? That's the real question.
That is the real question. Well, because exactly, they've made bold choices before, some of which have gone over very well, some of which have been very divided among opinions between people. And I think that this is just a great example of them saying, you know what, we can either be very gory and we can be with Roger, but we just spent an entire episode in a battle. We spent an entire episode losing people. Is it just going to feel like it's the continuation of the Battle of Alamance, of the Ballad of Roger Mack? Is this going to be like the Ballad of Roger Mack Part 2 as an episode on television? And I think that they just wanted to break it up. And they wanted to find a way to make us as viewers uncomfortable.
Sure, absolutely.
They wanted to find a way to make us as viewers, because we've just seen so much death and we just lost one of the most beloved characters of the show. So what could they do to put us off kilter?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, it was a choice on their part for their purposes that they took a gamble on. And it worked for a lot of us and it didn't work for a lot of others.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it because of that. I think when you are going to be going back on rewatches, watching this season through, it is going to jar you. It's like when you go on the Rumble Strip on a nice car ride and you're like, oh, goodness gracious, that was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was supposed to be annoying. I think we were meant to feel uncomfortable watching it.
Yep, I gotcha.
Hi, Mary. Blake, it's Kathy from Cleveland.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Well, Blake. Welcome to the Roger train. It's kind of quiet here. We don't talk much. But if you behave yourself, you might land a seat in first class. I was absolutely blown away by this episode from beginning to end. And I'm giving it my first ever 5+ kilts. It may be my favorite episode of the entire series.
Look at that. Wow.
My good? I am so happy they resisted the temptation to spend a lot of time on the medical details involved in saving Roger's life. The aftermath is so much more important than watching Super Dr. Claire secure his airway. It was a little jarring at first to see it in silent film format, but it worked for me. My better? As you know, I was never on the Mercasta train, But hearing Maria Doyle Kennedy sing Flowers of the Forest at Murtagh's Cairn made that plot line almost worth it. Almost. Even I teared up.
Aww.
My great putting Roger and Ian together on the surveying trip, two broken men who can't find a way back to their lives, was a stroke of genius. As Ian is one of my favorite characters, I was thrilled to see him back. This is one circumstance where a departure from the books was truly welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances by John Bell and Richard Rankin were heartbreakingly wonderful, especially Richard. Stay safe, guys. See you next week.
Thank you, Kathy. Speaking my language about the super Dr. Claire thing, I'm again, the aftermath, as Kathy said, is I think what is most important. And everything else that came before it is important, but it's not as important as what how it affects Roger the character.
Hi, it's Juanita from the UK talking about episode 508.
Hi.
Wow, that was an emotional episode.
Agreed.
Love how they used the silent movie to show us what was going on in Roger's head. And as it got towards the end of him standing on the cliff, it goes into colour as he sees Brianna's face.
Mm.
OMG, Wien's back. Time with the Mohawks has certainly changed him. He's not our little cheeky chappy he was in season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Love how Jamie and Wien together, Jamie telling him he's heart sick, and he can tell him anything. When Ian replies, he doesn't have the words. Jamie just asks if he can sit with him. That had me sobbing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need someone to sit there in silence with you and be there for you. 5 kilts for me. And oh, who could forget our gorgeous and kind Lord John popping up with his beautiful smile and words of wisdom. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Yes, Lord John rules, especially when we can talk to him and we're in through the lens of Little Mermaid. Yes, absolutely. That makes total sense.
Hi, Mary and Blake. Brittany from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Brittany.
I am glad I listened to the cast this week because I was very much out on this episode. After my first watch, I liked it. Then I watched it again, and all of the things that were wrong with it seemed to hit me in the face. I still really feel like, as Blake says, we are not earning the moments that we're getting, and it just seems sort of strung together. But I've watched it again, listened to the cast, and I'm giving it a 4.3. My good, Marsali, just giving all the Marsali, just all of it. Her and Ian's talk was wonderful. Yeah. I wish we could get a little more Fergus, but I'll take what I can get. My bad was the timeline. It said 3 months in the future, but I feel like Jemmy aged a little bit more, but Jermaine's not aging, and I'm just wondering how much time is passing here. I feel out of place. But my great is Ian. I am so glad that he's back. He is pretty much exactly how I pictured him. And I feel like the actor, I'm forgetting his name, just brought a little bit of seriousness that I didn't think he was capable of. Mm-hmm. And it impressed me. So I'm in on Ian. I'm interested to see how this is going to work since he's back a little early. But I'm all in on Ian. Thanks, guys.
Are you as in on Ian as Brittany is in this season so far? Because I will admit, I've been out on Ian. I've been out on Ian for a while.
I mean, he hasn't been here. He's been out this whole season.
Well, you know what? But season 4. I was out on Ian in season 4.
Oh, goodness gracious. He's such a little puddin'. I've been in on Ian. I mean, we do joke by Ian.
By Ian. And sup, Ian.
Yeah.
By the way, you can get that shirt at the Mary and Blake store. You're welcome. Yeah, I've been out on Ian, but I think this season so far, I'm kind of in on him. All right, let's get the next one down.
Hey, girl, hey, it's Janine from PA. Real talk. Did they delay this episode to resurrect Roger on Easter? That's Ooh. Either blasphemy or good marketing. Hmm. Speaking of Easter, our Easter sermon was about the last words of Jesus on the cross. And this episode was about famous last words. Spooky. Some great words came from Jocasta this episode, which I'm definitely going to frame and put by my front door. How careful we would be if we can't, which yes. goodbyes would be our last.
Yes. Ugh,
right in the feels. Now for my episode thoughts. I'm so glad there was a whole lot of Rollo in this episode. I called it as soon as I heard the growling. What I'm not happy about is the whole lack of Atso. I've seen more of Lumos Katla in a single After Dark episode than I've seen of Adso in this whole season. Not great, Bob. Also, I would definitely would have shipped Lord John and Bree in that Compass episode. I mean, scene. If I didn't know he was gay and she was married.
Seriously?
And man, do I want to have a dinner party with Marsley and Fergus?
Mm-hmm.
The way they framed young Ian at the dinner table, they definitely had one of those married people telepathic conversations.
We have those.
Fergus was all the time. Hey, babe, stare at him until he says something. That was fantastic. And unrelated, as a Doctor Who fan, I just realized how much Bree and Roger remind me of Amy Pond and Rory. Interesting. Hmm. All right. That's it for me. Bye.
Thanks,
Janine. Like Fergus and Marsley are probably that couple that you love and yet hate to invite to couples game night.
Oh, yeah.
They probably crush it. They're amazing. They're funny. And that's when you invite them. But they beat you every single
every time.
If they're on the same team.
See, if Mary and I, if we're on the same team and we play heads up.
Oh, or apples to apples.
Or apples to apples. We destroy.
Taboo.
We destroy everybody. We will destroy any living couple on this planet. Because
my favorite one is it was like taboo and the word was eel.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are dragons afraid of?
No!
Because in the How to Train Your Dragon series that our children are obsessed with, dragons are somehow afraid of eels.
And I was like, oh, eels, yeah. And people were like, what?
Our friends looked at us and they were like, hey, you just see our son is yelling in the background. Yes, he knows eels. Our friends looked at us like, you just talked about dragons in regards to eels and you still got it correct. So yeah, Marsley and Fergus, you know you want to invite them. As soon as the ban is lifted on having people over your house, that's who you want.
Yes.
That's who you want.
You just don't want to play apples to apples, or you definitely don't want to play heads up with them.
How do you feel about the babies aging, growing, all the discrepancies?
Stats are for nerds. You get the idea. They're kids. They're there. It's fine. You know, like, whatever.
I feel like Jemmy is from the blood of James Fraser, who's a giant, as is Brianna Fraser. So I feel like he's just going to take off like a tree.
One day, hopefully he will. All right, let's get the next one.
No, he is.
I know.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Eliza from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi,
I hope you're doing well. I've been saving your podcast for when I get back to work. It's very hard to resist.
Aww.
I thought the last few episodes have been great. Five kilts all around. We have some roll into Hey Hey. Fraser's fridge has been bubbling with activity.
Yep.
We have our wee beasties, our beeswax candles. And we're almost finished with the big house, complete with guest room for Lord John Grey, who has slumber parties every night, yo. The costumes look great. I've had some criticisms about them the past couple episodes, but they're starting to turn around. They look really good. We've got some bear flair, and hashtag by Ian is back. He looks much better than what I pictured in the book. The big house is absolutely fantastic. Cinematography is great. I'm glad that they didn't have this cutaway to Bonnet again, because that's getting real tiring, very soapy. So I'm glad we didn't have that this past episode. I'm not a fan of the big silent movie repetition. I get what they're going for, but it's a bit overkill. But it's an interesting take, so I have to give them credit for it. They've really made this book come alive for me. And until next time, thank y'all. And be safe, and don't forget to wash your hands. Lávate las manos.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, bringing in the Spanish. But you know what, Eliza, just for you, as I always do.
Here comes the General Washington.
You're welcome. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Amber, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi, Amber.
I'm a faithful listener and a first-time caller.
Yay.
Ding. My kilt rating for episode 508, Famous Last Words, is a 4.8. My good is the journey Roger took us on using the silent film flashbacks. Roger gave us no words to understand what he was trying to reconcile and cope with in his head and heart. And because Roger had no words, neither should we. Honorable mention goes to Jamie and Claire as grandparents playing with Jimmy. They would have been amazing parents together. My bad. The silent film flashbacks. While I love the flashback as a concept, I thought there were way too many of them. We could tell what was going on with Roger by the wonderful acting job Rick Rankin did in this episode. I think one at the beginning, showing the entire hanging scene, one smaller middle episode flash, and the grand reveal flash when it's Bree's face that calls him back from the edge of the cliff would have been plenty. My great, everything we Ian. I knew when I saw that arrow that Ian had returned. My heart skipped a beat with joy. Ian has always been one of my favorite characters, and his return makes me happy. I am excited to see the journey Ian has been on during his time with the Mohawk. Thanks, Mary Blake and the entire Outlander cast staff for all that you do. Stay safe and be well.
Oh, thank
thanks,
you.
Anne. But you too. You call in anytime. You call. I like that. I like the heat that you're bringing. Let's get the next one.
Howdy, Mary Ann Blake. This is Michael from Shawnee, Kansas, with my feedback for 508 Famous Last Words.
Hey, Michael.
Here's my GBG. Good. The silent movie aspect to portray Roger's PTSD. Bad. All the fans trying to figure out how long it's been since the wedding. Jemmy is now walking and counting to 10, so it must have been a year. But Marcy is still pregnant. Is she now in her fifth trimester? I just say, go with the flow, and I'll stick with my theory that the time travel stones distort time in the Outlanderverse, affecting different characters at different rates. Great. The return of Ian and the subsequent Roger-Ian surveying trip. Lastly, Blake, if we do get the NFL this year, do you foresee a Chiefs-Buccaneers Super Bowl?
Ooh. Oh, Michael, you had to do it. You had to do it.
There's not going to be an NFL this year if there's not an MLB.
No, there will be an NFL. There will be. There's too much money involved for it to not happen. And you know, the thing that the NFL has is that the benefit that it has is that all it's got is time. The season doesn't start until September. It's all it's got is time.
Listen, we're talking some controversial stuff.
But no, no.
You know what we should do? We should do like, what's that thumb football that you play with your hands and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the paper football.
Yeah, I'll be one team and you can be the other.
Yeah, we can Facebook Live.
We'll do that for Michael.
I'll be the Bucks because it's Tom Brady, and you can be the Chiefs.
Okay, so yeah, how do you feel about these babies? And let's be real. We're talking particularly about Jemmy.
I mean,
so
again, stats are for nerds. I don't care.
No, but for real.
But I really don't care. Like, for real, I really don't care. I get the idea. The kid got a little bit older. Or
Mosley's
in her fifth trimester. Like, who cares? Like, really, what does it matter?
Marcy matters, okay? Everyone else, Marcy is every woman that's ever been pregnant, right? And you're just like, wait a second, I thought it was 9 months. It's actually 10 months?
Yeah.
Why does every book say 9 months? Why does everyone say 9 months when it's really 10 months? Or in Marcy's case, 2 years.
No, it hasn't been 2 years.
Did you see how well Jemmy was playing hide and go seek?
Yes, I did.
That baby is not the same baby that we saw at the wedding.
All right,
when Claire was getting a little tipsy while she was babysitting.
Pulling a full Kesha. Going full Kesha.
What?
Getting a little tipsy.
Oh, okay.
See, I got you.
Okay.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Raquel, and I'm from Brazil, and this is my first time calling. I found your podcast last year, and since then, I've been rewatching all the episodes since the first season, so
thank
I could listen to all your podcast episodes and know all your thoughts about it. So now I'm actually in the fourth season, so I didn't catch up yet with you guys, but I just wanted to call you and thank you because this quarantine time hasn't been a really easy time. I bet not just for me, but for all of us. And you guys have been keeping me company and helping me stay home, stay safe, stay healthy, really. So just want to thank you guys. And I love it when Blake says, ay, ay, ay. And when Mary says anything, actually. Or when she says nothing because she's eating. But I guess that's it. Just wanted to call to say I love you guys. You're amazing. And hope you stay home, stay safe. And so does your family and friends. So bye. Love you guys.
I love you too, Raquel. Oh, Raquel, laying down some truth bombs.
Coming down from the clouds on that one. Yeah, Mary, you talk great until you're not, and because you're eating. You know?
Oh, I'm so hungry. Doesn't help that Outlander, like, mentions food. What did Claire do with all the extra bread? Is there olive oil and Parmesan cheese and red pepper flakes in North Carolina at this time? Let's be real.
She was so cute. She has a sweet little voice, and she comes in.
Him, Blake,
oh, I love you so much, guys. This is great. And then Mary, you're great too. Until you eat, and you know.
I love it. I love it. But truly, podcasting and having the ability to connect with you all, whether through your voicemails, emails, on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, man. Wherever you are, is helping us so much. I am such an extrovert, and being without people in real life has been very hard. So you are not alone, my friend. And thank goodness for Outlander for bringing us all together and helping us chat and maybe eat a few more snacks.
Oh, man. Raquel, when you catch up to this episode, because you haven't listened to all of them yet, but when you do, just know that I loved every single word that you brought in that in that voicemail. That was exceptional. Thank you very much for that one. I really liked it. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Roisin, and I'm phoning you from Dublin in Ireland.
Hi, Roisin. This is my
first time to call, but I've been a long-time listener, and I've been a forever-time lover of the Outlander cast and your other podcast. So thanks very much for everything. I've literally just finished watching the episode because it only came out here today. So I don't know what the online comments have been about Roger and the little silent movie flashbacks, but here's my thoughts. At first, it made me a little bit uncomfortable, and I thought it was a bit weird. And then the more it went on, the more I recognized that feeling, because unfortunately, at times when I've had trauma in my life, I've had those feelings where you think it's not happening to you, or like you're watching a movie of your own life, or you're watching a TV show, and I've stepped outside my body and it feels as if it's happening to somebody else. So actually, the fact that they kept going back to it just made that for me feel more authentic for somebody who was trying to process the trauma. And then the fact that it changed at the end, because, you know, very often there is that kind of cathartic bit at a certain stage in your process of your grief or your trauma or whatever that is. I don't know what you felt about the device of the flashbacks, what other people felt. I imagine it's pretty polar, but I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was very clever. And I just want to say thanks and best wishes, and keep everybody safe. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Can she read me a nighttime story?
Roisin, you call in anytime you want. You know what you do? Just get like War and Peace and just read it.
I don't think I would go for that book.
Well, what would you go for? Dr. Zhivago?
Oh,
that'll put you to bed.
I've had enough of that for my mom.
Of course she would read that to you. Oh, my. All right, you ready for the next one?
Yep.
Hello, Mary and Blake. It's Mandy again. This is my serious one.
Okay.
Because I wanted to say this, that I absolutely appreciated showing the intricacies of post-traumatic stress disorder. I was diagnosed with it 3 years after having my twins prematurely, and also then having their diagnosis of cerebral palsy. And so that feeling of those flashbacks coming, and you are in the middle of something else and your mind being taken quickly back to your trauma, is something that still affects me 15 years later. So I was thankful for that in the show, and even though my mind is a sieve at the moment, I appreciated that. Okay, bye.
Well, thanks, Mandy. I appreciate that.
Thank you for sharing our story. And I'm sorry that you were able to relate to it, but, you know, for you, for so many people, you know, Blake included, who have had major traumas, sometimes seeing it on screen helps you feel a little bit more normal. Doesn't make it any easier, but makes you realize other people kind of, you know, go through traumas in their own ways, but also relive traumas. So thank you for calling.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Mandy from Melbourne, Australia. Oh, I love this.
It's flip-flopped.
But I watch it at 3 a.m. here in Australia, because, you know, hashtag children home for school.
Yes.
And I felt like Jenny or Marcelly. There's so many bands here, and there's so many freaking WebEx codes to get into three different schools for three different kids. So I have to watch Jamie and Claire at 3 a.m. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, I hope Blake loves this episode, because I'm loving it.
Yes.
So, Blake, can you get out of my head too? Because I've got enough to do.
Mandy, I appreciate you,
and I'm feeling your pain, my friend. All the different logins.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I've only done it a couple of times, and I was like, you know what, I'm out.
He did it wrong too. The art teacher, Blake's in charge of the artwork being sent in, and the art teacher emailed me 2 or 3 weeks into this saying, why have you guys not handed any artwork?
I hit submit. It says submit. I hit the button submit, and apparently it got lost in the ether. You know, it got lost in the grid. It's floating around with Flynn somewhere.
Our now 7-year-old will be okay. He will not flunk first grade.
All right, let's go to the next. This is the last one. Ready?
Yes.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Angela Hickey from South Jersey.
Hi, Angela.
I just wanted to thank you both for the excellent podcast on Monday. It was my favorite podcast so far this season. Mary, you had me in hysterics laughing, and Blake, you just made my day.
All right.
All I can say is, woo, woo. Welcome aboard the Roger Mac train, baby. Damn, you have put our poor Roger through more hell than Diana does, and that's really saying something.
Yes.
But I didn't need any copays after this podcast, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
I did want to tell you that you had me smiling and cheering the whole time, so thank you for that. I really needed that at this time.
Good.
I wanted to say I really loved the episode. I thought Rick Rankin was phenomenal, and John Bell, honestly, I wasn't sure he could pull off the post-Mohawk Ian, but he really nailed it. I was so impressed. Mm-hmm. He really transformed.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that my favorite choice that they've made so far is the parallel between Ian and Roger's journey, and the way they did it is probably one of my top adaptive choices of the entire series.
Yeah.
It was a very powerful and smart choice. Blake, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Now that you see what happened to Roger, how would you have changed the end of episode 507, if at all?
That's a good question. How would I change it? Oh, that's a good question. I think I would have just had Roger hang in there without the bag, because that would have been it. You know it's him, and then you can get into the next episode thinking, oh my God, he is dead.
Yeah.
You just know that it's him.
Yeah.
That's what I would have changed.
Yes.
Right? Because
everyone's thinking, oh, did Buck take his coat?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Ooh, like just
know that it's him. That's it.
Especially because Starz came out with the cover image of the episode on the Starz app with Bree and Roger. Especially
right.
because their little like two sentence line introducing the episode includes Roger's name in it. Like the cat was out of the bag when you went to go push play at midnight Saturday night or anytime on Sunday.
Yep.
So it's
don't do me dirty. Just do it.
That's what I would have changed, to be honest. Whoever
right, that's
made
true.
That choice did a bad job.
Yes, I would agree.
Yes.
I think if you're gonna do me dirty, at least buy me dinner. You know,
someone's asking Mary and Rick in New York. Oh yes, I remember.
Get that guy out of here.
I had moments with him twice in New York. He's gonna think I live in New York.
He sucks, Rick. Mm-mm. No, he sucks. I'm out.
He does not.
Yes, he
does. He's a sweet man.
He hit on a married woman. He hit on a married woman. I'm
not
out.
Really.
Him and his stupid fish pin.
He didn't really.
Yeah, he gave you a pin.
He did.
That is man code for like, oh, hey, here's something that I like. Here's a pin.
I told him I didn't like it. Told him it looked like a fuzzy caterpillar.
Oh, my God. Friggin'.
He was a fish. He said, dear, would you like it? I said, I just told you it looked like a fuzzy caterpillar. I don't know if I really want it. And then everyone next to me was like, take his pin. Rick Rankin's giving you his pin. You take it. I said, okay, fine. And then he gave me something else. Gave me a picture of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I didn't want that either. And he said, why would you not want this?
Because it's a picture of you, bro.
I said, what am I going to do? Put it up in my podcast studio with my husband? A big picture of you?
That guy sucks.
No, he's obviously
hitting on you. He was trying way too hard.
I think he was very confused why I didn't want to take gifts of his face.
He probably was. He's probably used to people fawning all over him, being sycophants, and you were like, I'm sorry, dude. What? Like, no. I had the official images.
I had like the headshots and the official images that they had given us. But this was like piece of artwork. And I was like, buddy, I'm not hanging that up.
No.
He was shook.
Somebody here says it's just Scottish charm. No, that's a guy being a dink. I don't care if it's charm, Scottish, Irish, could be friggin' Egyptian for all I care.
We need to put up the dancing video. That he wasn't hitting on me there. He didn't even realize I was the same person. When he saw me the first time, I had long hair. Then he saw me the second time, I had half a shaved head.
That's
so
true.
So I was like, Ian. Okay, he did not know it was the same person. If he even knew that the girl he danced with at his photography exhibit was the same woman that he gave his fish pin to.
Yeah.
His mind would be blown.
All right. Got any final thoughts? Any last, because we didn't do opening takes, so you got any
close? Richard Rankin gives you a picture. I did end up taking the picture. The moral of the story is I said no thank you to his picture. And then once again, my dear friends around me were like, you first said no to his pin and we told you to take his pin. Then you said no to his picture. Even if you don't want his picture, someone else will want his picture. Go back and get it. So I went. And I went to go get him, but he was outside smoking. And he told his bouncer person, his bodyguard person, whatever, that I could come over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's totally him hitting on
and
you.
And I said, I'm really sorry. I still don't personally want your picture, but my friends want me to get the picture of you. So can you please give it back to me after all?
when he tells the handler, oh, yeah, let her in. Yeah, let her in the back. Yeah.
I'm not into smokers, okay? He's not my type. That's, like, actually one of my three top things. Excuse me, madam. I need you to go. Yeah, one of my top three things.
Okay.
You want to know why? I dated a guy who was a smoker. This is honestly, well, there's two reasons why. First off, I can't stand it. It makes me sneeze. It makes me cough. I'm a musician. Okay, that's number one. Number two of why I won't date a smoker. I dated a guy that was a smoker once, right? Mm-hmm. And we were in my car and it was drizzling because we live in Rhode Island and it drizzles half the months of the year. And my teal slicker, which I love, you know the one,
I finally got rid of it
last year, mm-hmm. which I'd had since I was 19. Okay, this teal L.L. Bean slicker was in the back and he was flicking his cigarette ashes. Is that even what you call it? I don't even know. Flicking it
at the window.
And it blew back in his window and it landed on my teal slicker and it burnt a hole in my teal slicker.
Yep. No, I can't have that.
I loved that teal slicker that I wore it for another 10 years. And that friggin' hole reminded me, don't date smokers because their ashes are going to burn your most beloved teal articles mm-hmm. of clothing. So don't worry, Blake. Even if I was single, I probably wouldn't have dated Rick Rankin if he asked me once I saw that he was a smoker. Because I would think, he's going to drop his cigarette ashes on my clothes.
The freaking Rick Rankin. Get out of here with that guy. All right. Since we didn't do opening takes, do you have any closing takes? Anything that you're looking forward to for this episode or the next
People
episode?
People didn't know he's a smoker. Sorry.
Yeah, he was. He was. Sorry. Oh, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do, what's it called? The teaser for the next yes. episode. All right, hold on.
Sorry if I just busted people's bubbles.
Vamp for me.
This is what people in New York do. This is probably what a lot of artists do. I don't know. Maybe he just did it because he was so stressed. I don't know. I didn't think that he was, but he was. At least that night. The second time I saw him, he was not smoking. Mm-hmm. But the first time I saw him, which maybe he just did it for a little break. Who knows? I don't.
Keep talking, Marvin, because I got to
That's
get
also
this
when I hung out with Duncan Lacroix. And I had a very tender moment with him and this woman.
Wasn't he hammered?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
But he sat next to me. Me, and this woman had a very sweet moment. She talked about her love of her life who passed away and how she was connecting with Murtaugh.
If you've looked at a piano keyboard Sorry. In the past.
You know, losing Jamie's... Oh, my God. That's one of my crushes, though.
Oh, Harry Connick Jr.? Oh, yeah.
Sign me up.
That is all Mary.
That is so my type.
That is
so
all
my
Mary.
Type. Oh my God. Keep him on the screen for a moment. Oh my goodness gracious.
You've been intimidated.
Oh, yes, we have.
I'm
going to
fix that for you right now.
Okay.
All right.
Why is he still here?
I'm going to count 12 notes.
Okay.
Harry.
That's all the notes on
yeah?
the piano.
Blake.
There's a.
Blake, why is Harry.
Because you said you liked him, so I wanted to give him a little props.
Okay.
I could get behind Harry Connick Jr. That's fine with me.
Yeah, see, someone says a lot of actors, a lot of just artists, and it's a thing that people do a lot more frequently in New York City. Like, you go to art galleries. It's weird because we're. Where we live, like when you go out to restaurants or wherever, people just aren't smoking that much anymore. But when I go visit my friends, my artsy friends. People yeah. do. It's just a thing still that people do a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, you ready for the preview?
Oh, look at someone else. All
right,
Jennifer. She knows. She knows the Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, are we going
to
do the preview?
Robin says Richard kind of has that flirty personality in person. I went to a small event with him, and that's how he is. But he's sweet and funny. See?
Don't make it right. Don't make it right.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
That's right.
You know what I was singing to him?
What?
Oh my God, I was singing like music from Beauty and the Beast because they had excuse me, my love. They had someone singing at Richard's photography exhibit. They had someone singing, but then he was singing like Disney songs.
Oh, that's right. It was the exhibit. It was all Disney songs, right?
No, it wasn't all Disney songs. It was just some guy who sings like Broadway tunes and other tunes. And then all of a sudden he was singing like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast, the Bonjour song, right from the moment when I met her. Right. And I have a video on my phone and I'm like singing it next to Rick Rankin, singing it about him.
Yep.
About how he's gorgeous. And I vowed, you know, but like it was a really fun, different, it was a very different event. All right, let's get into the trailer.
Somebody says, Blake, that's just weird. You shouldn't be okay with Harry Connick Jr. either.
I'm kind of okay with him. Yeah.
I'm kind of okay. Like,
yeah. You're okay.
I'm not saying hall pass level, but I
don't really believe hall pass.
If you had a little flirtation with Harry Connick Jr.,
let's be real. If Harry Connick Jr. was flirting with me, he'd probably be flirting with you too. We're like a package deal.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah. He'd be like, you guys want me to write you a song?
Yes.
Do you guys have an extra White Claw? Come on over, Harry.
All right, let's watch the preview here.
We must kill Stephen Bonnet. If I cannot do it, you must.
Your dad thinks Bonnet could have the right to take Jamie away from us.
If I were to lose you or Jamie, I would never be quite home.
There's a war coming.
Only one of us gets to be frightened at any time. Right now it's my turn.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Okay, can we just like kind of go a little shot by shot?
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's do it.
Come here, baby.
He can't hear. Just so you guys know.
Our
little lad.
All right. So, okay. Jamie is looking.
Who do you think he's looking at?
Not great right now.
No, he needs.
He. It looks like he is hurting in some.
He needs a smoothie. He looks like he's been having nachos and pub cheese.
He is not
too long.
He is not looking good. I think he. I think he's hurt. And there's a later scene in the trailer that shows Bree and like running away and Claire like shooting at something. Something tells me that Jamie gets messed up and he is sick. And what makes it worse is the fact that the guy from Brownsville stepped on the needle with the
Sorry, I'm a 7-year-old.
When the hosts aren't listening.
7-year-old wants my attention.
I understand. Jamie looks messed up, and it looks like he's messed up so much that what makes it worse is that the guy from Brownsville steps on the needle with the penicillin, and Jamie won't be able to get healed with the penicillin unless Claire does something to like manufacture some. Like, remember in Lost when Jack does the needle in the arm with the fish, the fish with the spikes?
Yeah,
same thing. I wonder if Claire does the same exact thing, or something. Not the same.
Do you think
but
she's gonna get
like
a sea urchin?
Maybe she gets sea urchin. I don't know, but maybe she forges some kind of needle. I don't know, but somehow, some way, this needle that was broken is going to play into Jamie not being looking so hot here.
Your dad thinks Bonnet could have the right to take Jamie away from us.
First off, love the side pony.
Oh, I'm all about the side pony life.
Right?
I'm all about the side pony life and the poof life. I know. I love the poof.
One day I'll be back to side pony ability. Still not there yet. Once again, I was pretty much Ian.
Yes.
A year ago. But here he comes. And I love that Jamie's the that Roger's the one that has to break the news to Bree. You know, like, because when is Bree going to tell her parents that she knows that Bonnet's alive? She's just told Roger she's dealing with this stuff. When are they going to tell their parents, hey, we know that this is happening? Because then her parents also have to break the news. Oh, by the way, not only is he here, not only is he alive, but he kind of wants Jemmy. He heard that Jemmy is the fastest growing child ever.
Well, it goes to show you that what I predicted earlier in the season is the route that they were going. That Bonnet will seem to think that he has a right to River Run, and he very well might. I mean, with all the people that he knows, all the people in the high places, I'm sure
Pippin.
He's got fancy Pippin. If he's got fancy Pippin, I'm sure there's a way they could figure out a lawful argument for him to inherit Riverrun if
I have three beverages in front of me right now, by the way.
I noticed. people are correcting me. It's not a needle. It's a syringe. Yes, it is a syringe. I don't know.
People have also asked me, why would I be down with Harry Connick Jr. and not Rick Rankin? You want to know why?
Why?
Because Rick Rankin smokes.
Yep. I bet you Harry Connick Jr. smokes too.
I don't know about that.
I bet you he does.
Really?
I guarantee he's... yes, absolutely. He smokes.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. Right, with that voice.
Let's keep going.
If I were to lose you or Jamie, I would never be quite home.
There's a war coming.
Looks like Jamie's resting in bed.
Talking to who?
Talking to Claire. Yeah, no, he's messed up.
Why would he be telling her? Oh, just so you know.
Well, let's see.
There's a war coming.
That's absolutely Claire right here. Absolutely. You can tell,
like,
by the hair.
She's like, honey, I'm the one who traveled through time. I'm the one who
I know,
told
trust
you.
Me. All right, here we go.
There's a war coming.
Only one of us gets to be frightened at any time.
Oh, I like that shot of Bree right there.
That's pretty much me.
Yeah, all the time.
Like, yeah, no joke. Just stumbling.
Running, stumbling and running away. Yeah.
Why, now it's my turn.
Lord have mercy.
Why is she afraid? Who's she shooting?
I don't
What's
know.
Going on?
I'm not
Lord
sure.
Lord have mercy. Everyone just needs to, like, take some deep breaths before next Sunday night.
I don't
who
know.
Shot who, right? Right?
Yep. Who knows? Who knows? But that is
But Ian's still shaving the mohawk, because let's be real. When you let an undercut grow in, it is awkward. It is awkward. Really awkward. Right? You got to see that haircut firsthand, man.
We have a listener here saying, you probably can't play jazz in New Orleans without smoking. Yes.
To go draw. I appreciate your insight.
Thanks, pal.
But I love you.
I love the Greek chorus, but not that much. Okay, are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right, let's do it.
If only I could make him understand.
Oh.
I just don't see things the way he does.
Oh, this is happening.
Oh, this
don't
is happening.
See how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad. Look at this stuff.
So while we're here,
isn't it neat?
You might need like an instrumental version.
No.
You can't talk over this voice.
We're going the original.
Like one of the best Disney princess voices. So unique. Look at this
troll. That's great. I love her hair. I love the swoop hair.
Have you seen the pictures of what all these Disney princesses would look like
in
real life?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ariel coming out of the water will like all of us being hit by a wave. All right.
Hold on.
And gizmos aplenty. I've got who's its and what's its galore.
Thanks, Lord John.
You want thingamabobs?
I got 20.
In 1994, Harry Connick Jr. gave up smoking.
Oh, okay.
Though he occasionally will smoke a cigar, and he doesn't even drink.
I want to be. That's okay.
You're welcome. I Googled it.
One of our listeners here asked me, why do you keep calling me a listener, Blake? Because I can't see your name in the comments. For some reason, it's...
Sometimes the names are showing up.
Some of them are saying unknown.
And then sometimes it just says unknown.
So I'm just doing the best that I can here. All right, let's close this bad boy out, Marvin. What do we got here?
What are... The background sounds of the swooshing...
All right, well, everybody, thank you for...
You know what I hate?
What?
Flounder does not look like a flounder, okay? For those of you who don't live by the ocean, Google flounders. Okay,
oh,
we eat them here in Rhode Island. They are the ugliest looking things. They're flat. They've got weird looking eyes. They look like sand. They're delicious. They do not look like that.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and enjoying the Listener Feedback episode with us. Go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the podcasts that we have there, including Outlander Cast, obviously, and the Gilmore Girls podcast, the North Remembers, the Crown podcast, the Leftovers podcast. We got so many podcasts, you can't even keep track of them anymore.
We really need to take a moment to thank our patrons. So as you guys know, you go to OutlanderCastClan.com. For as little as $2 a month, you become a patron of ours. You get the extra bonus insight. You get all these fun extra perks. And you're supporting our show. It's like supporting your local PBS. It's something that you're doing out of the goodness of your heart, and just know that that's what keeps us going. It's what keeps Ariel singing. It's what keeps Lumos here. Truly, Thank you. Thank you so much. We want to thank our most generous patrons, Angie, Candy, Carolyn, Celine, Christine, Dawn, Diane, Jennifer, Jeffrey, Karen, Marilyn, Maureen, Patricia, Siobhan, Stephanie, Valerie, as well as our co-producers. I've got to go so quickly before the outro, but it's already here. Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Janet, Keelan, Lori Ellen. Screw it. I'm going past the music. Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney. Ah, you ended it early, man.
Yeah, I did.
And our executive producers, Ann, Bobby, D, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadja, Peg, and Sarah, as well as all of the cast, not the cast, all of the staff at OutlanderCast.com, our bloggers, our social media peeps, our newsletter, our event coordinators, all of you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
What? There you go.
You found it. Much better. Dwelt
a minor 49. All right, you got anything else that we got going on? You got to read anything else?
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
In the show, not this version, but when she was singing it, she switched keys slightly from when she was singing it in the house, mm-hmm. and then it was a shot of Roger when he's, you know, carving. And Brie was slightly in a different key, and it drove me crazy.
Anything else you got to read? Any other names? We're good?
That's what I got right now, man.
Okay, we're good. Well, everybody, thank you very much. Again, go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great stuff that we have going on there. Go to outlandercastclan.com. Become a member over there. And check out the ever-popular After Doc show. It's amazing. Oh, and actually, even more amazing than this version of Clementine. So, yes. That's it.
For now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And our kids here and our cat. And we run OutlanderCast. Hey, buddy, can you come here for a second? Do you know the song Clementine? Oh, my darling. No?
Mary, we got to close the show out.
Okay. Well, I thought he might know it.
Reese, say thank you to everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. That's that. Thanks, bye. Everybody.